Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Praise be to Allah, the Most High, the Gracious, the Merciful One. Welcome to the Muslim Review with your host, Imam Abu Layth Luqman ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed, or Imam Luqman Ahmed. I'm glad you are tuning into our show. Our topic today is the future of Black Muslim America. What's the plan? What is the plan? This is part one of probably a maybe two or three part series. The call-in number is 914-219-0874 if you want to come on the show and give your opinion or your question. You know, Black American Muslims don't seem to be included in anyone's future plan. I mean, you can go on, you can watch a sci-fi movie about the future. You can go to Star Trek. You can look at The Hunger Games, any other of the TV shows or movies that depict life in the future, and you're going to see Black people. You're going to see, you know, sometimes you're going to see them in leadership. You're going to see them giving their opinions. You're going to see them doing stuff. Even if you walk, go to the Walking Dead, a show like that, which is supposed to be about the future, you know. But you're going to see Black people. But when it comes to Islam in America, there is very little discussion about the future of Black American Muslims and converts. It's almost as if we're being erased out of the future. You don't see plans about new construction of masajid in Black American Muslim communities that serve Black Americans or serve converts. You see masajid being built in those communities, but it's not being run by the convert community, nor are they being built to cater to the convert community. You don't see that. You don't see what we're going to do in the future of education. You don't see what we're doing in terms of leadership development for our children. There are hundreds of programs around the country that address Muslim youth development, leadership training programs. You don't see many of those catered to Black American Muslims. You hardly see Black American Muslims being involved in these programs. Usually they're by immigrant communities, and power to them. Power to the Muslim that comes to America from any country and establishes their communities and preserves their language, preserves their culture from the old country while they try to find their way to practice Islam in the United States. More power to them. I'm not even going to begrudge them. But in Black Muslim America, for people who were born and raised in the United States for generations, for descendants of slaves in this country who converted to Islam, there's very little talk, even amongst ourselves, about any future. We're just kind of trudging along. You know, we come online. It's great. We have discussions. We usually have discussions that are handed to us on a plate. And we have the discussions within the parameters that are allowable to us because, by and large, Black American Muslims still live in a colonial type of existence in Muslim America. We're starting to come out of it slowly but surely. People are waking up a little bit here and there, but you still have a huge segment of the Black American Muslim community who do not have any confidence in our own ability to establish our own programs that are catered to us, nor are many of us willing to make investments in ourselves, in our own schools, for our own children, nor, and this really is a sad statement, nor are many of us even raising our children in Islam so that they can take over as leaders in the future. Our generational continuity is down to a trickle. And by generational continuity, I'm talking about Muslim families and generations, maybe even clans, maybe even tribes of Muslims who are going 4, 5 generations, even 3 generations. It's hard to find. In most American cities, you find a little bit more in the Northeast, maybe places like Philly, places like Newark, New Jersey, along that Northeast corridor. You may find them, and you might find them in Los Angeles area. And you may even find some in the Bay Area in California. But by and large, since we have been active in the Dawah, in inviting people to Islam, and people have been converting to Islam in high numbers amongst the Black American Muslim community since the 1970s. So by this time, you should see, it should be common that you're going to see 2 and 3 generations, 4 generations of Muslim families that are still practicing the religion and still cognizant of who they are. You're not finding that. You're finding people, you're Muslim, but this happened, maybe you practiced until 20 years, after you converted to Islam. Maybe you were trying to find a brand of Islam, or you latched on to one of the many foreign spheres of Muslim influence that you thought was going to solve your problems, but didn't. Or you didn't find growth there, or you couldn't really introduce it to your family because it was too foreign. Sometimes Islam is too strange for your kids. Sometimes people, we talked about this in the last episode, people going from one type of Islam to another type of Islam to another type of Islam, and you get civilizational whiplash from that. So what is the plan? What's the plan for Black American Muslims? What are we going to do? Who's doing what? Where is the office? Where do I sign up? Where can you go? In the United States of America. Yes, son, I'm on the radio now, son.
The phone fell on your head.
Yeah. Okay, I got my kids here. I'm a single parent. And so they're on the radio. Okay, son, go sit down. You'll be okay. It's no blood or nothing like that. Okay, alhamdulillah. So where does a person go? Excuse me for the interruption. Again, you're listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed. My show is called The Muslim Review. If you would like to call in, the number is 914-219-0874. And we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. What is the plan? So I was just saying, where do you go? Where's the office that you can go? Okay, hey, this is the office that deal with Black American Muslim issues. Who's in charge over here? Where's the program? Where's the school? Who's training who? Who's on it? What about the loss of our children in our community? Who's dealing with that? Who's in charge of that? Where do I go? Where do I sign up? Where do I volunteer? Even where do I send my money if I want to help out? You'd be hard-pressed to find it. We're the same people who made inventions. We're the same people that run airports and are involved in all sorts of technology. Coming to people will be in whatever field, profession that they have qualified themselves in. Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah for that. But you'll be a professional on your job. Maybe you're, program computers or anything. You're an engineer. You're a teacher. You're a scholar. Where you are. And you come into Muslim America, and all of a sudden, you're inept. You don't have a suggestion anymore. You don't have confidence in your own religion to solve problems. A lot of that is our fault. Some of it isn't. Some of it is history. The historical trajectory of Black American Muslims have been a people under another people, under control of another people. I can still remember it was not that long ago where you had Muslim converts getting on the phone, calling a foreign sheikh, a foreign scholar, and may Allah preserve our scholars, to ask that person, asking that scholar, who can I take knowledge from in my own damn country? And this person is 10,000 miles away, maybe never even been to America. You want to know what brand of toilet paper is halal for me? Well, not that, but maybe. I find that to be absolutely absurd. Now, people are coming out of that. And I predicted that when they came out of it, it'd come out like a mob. We talked about racism in Muslim America, and we really can't blame anybody for our woes. You know, we can't blame, you know, you just have a lot of wrong paths that seem to be built in to our modality as Black American Muslims in this country. We have all these wrong paths. You have people come in, and I get this. I've seen this on my Facebook page. I read that in many comments. You want to blame the elders. Blame the generation that came before. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, because, see, the leadership didn't do X, Y, Z. That the old guard didn't do that. They didn't set up things for us. Okay. And that kind of goes against the way that we should look at things from an Islamic perspective. But who the heck cares about an Islamic perspective anymore? Who cares about scripture? I mean, Allah says in the Quran, and I'm going to preach to you a little bit because this is my show. And thanks for listening in. Call in number is 914-219-0874. You're listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ahmed on the Muslim Review. We're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. And we're talking about blaming those who came before. Like that's the go-to answer for some. See, they didn't set it up, so it's their fault. So we're just going to sit on the sidelines and do thumbs up or thumbs down. Because that's the way that many of us approach our situation, our future. We want imams to dance and do vaudeville. Yes, Idris. Okay, don't worry about it. Oh, wait a minute. Who was that? Okay, son, don't worry about it. Just take that. I'll call him back later, son. I'll call him back later. Don't worry about it, okay? Hey, listen, my kids come first. I don't have an engineer. My studio is in my dining room. But anyway, thank you for listening in. We're talking to Imam Luqman Ahmed. We're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. And we're talking about, there's a lot of things we've got on the table today. So feel free to call in at 914-219-0874. Let me know what you think of the program. Let me know what you think of the topics. Let me hear what you have to say about it. Don't be shy. But anyway, we're talking about blaming those that came before. Now, there's a couple things that we look at. Now, my position as an imam, as a Muslim, is that our go-to document to find answers is the Quran, is the Book of Allah. The Book of Allah first. After that, we're looking at the Sunnah. We're looking at prophetic tradition. We want to know what the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him, what he had to say about this or that. That is our first go-to position as far as I'm concerned. Anybody who's not making that as the go-to position, if the Quran is not your go-to position, your go-to document looking for answers in your life, in our lives today, if it's not the Quran, as far as I'm concerned, you're already taking a wrong path. You're already made a left turn somewhere, east Jablit. You're already scheduled to end up in a cornfield somewhere, not knowing where the heck you are. That happens all the time. We go for Quran and Sunnah. That's the basis of Islam. And Quran itself, it covers everything. There's a verse that says, "Ma faratna min kitabin min shay." Allah says, we have not left anything out of this book. And he hasn't left anything out. He's covered every topic that we confront in our everyday lives is covered in the Quran. It's up to the Muslim intellectual, the Muslim scholar, the Muslim who is aware, the Muslim who cares, because you have to care about your future. You have to care about the preservation of Islam in your family, in your lineage, in your community. The Prophet said, "Man lam yahtam bi amr al-muslimina falaysa minhum." He says, whoever is not concerned about the affair of the Muslims, then he's not from amongst them. So looking at those that came before, well, first of all, there's some general rules. There's general civilizational rules in Islam that we find in the Quran, we find in the Sunnah, that helps people chart their trajectory as Muslims, no matter where they are. We're happening to be talking about Black American Muslims in the United States right now, but that goes for all Muslim peoples. There are certain rules, regulations, there are certain guidelines so that you won't end up in East Jablit. You won't end up somewhere you don't even know where the heck you are in your ideology or your religion. That should not be happening. We should be able to be going to our scriptures and getting the answers, having the type of dialogue, the dialogue that's warranted, not anybody's dialogue, not whatever is popular that month, whatever is popular that day, whatever's been handed to us. We get on campaigns, don't know who the heck started the campaign. Part of Islamic reasoning is to know what's your source, what are your proofs. Allah says, "Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqin." Bring your proofs if you are sincere. He says, "Salhum ayyuhum bidhalika za'im." Ask them, who's in charge of that? We're supposed to ask. Somebody introduces concepts to us as Muslims, concepts that are supposed to solve our problems. We have a right. No, we have an obligation to ask, excuse me, who came up with that? Who started that? Who's in charge of that? Okay? So Allah says, first he says, "Tilka ummatun qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum wa la tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun." Allah says, these are nations that have already preceded you. I mean, they're gone. Anybody, when you talk about our past, elders who aren't here, imams who aren't here, may Allah forgive and have mercy on them, that's the past. You can't blame them for your condition. They're not responsible because they passed away. If they led you down a wrong path, you're still responsible for that. Because everybody has access to the living God. We have access to the living scripture. We have access to the living Quran, the living word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, Tilka ummatun qad khalat. These are nations that have already passed. Laha ma kasabat. They will get the reward or punishment for what they did. Laha ma kasabat. Walakum ma kasabtum. And you will get the reward or punishment for what you do. Wala tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. And you will not be asked about what they did. And the asking part is very important for Muslims, for Black American Muslims, if you're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. Because you're going to be asked. I'm going to be asked about what did you do when you were alive, when you were healthy, when you saw what was going on, when you saw the decline, you saw we were headed towards extinction. You saw the decline of the family. You saw the decline of the community. You saw it dwindle into almost nothing. What did you do? Like Allah says, well, that's just aluna amma kanu ya'malun. You won't be asked about what they did, but you will be asked about what you do during your time. Even if your elders didn't leave a pot of gold for you, they didn't leave us with the programs and with the A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z. You still have the opportunity right now to do it yourself, to engage in it yourself, to build it yourself, to teach it yourself, to study it yourself, to raise your children yourself. We still have that opportunity. That's why we're going to be questioned. We're going to be questioned about even the good that you get. You know, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of strength, of resources, of knowledge, of skill set. You got to ask yourself the question, what are you doing with yours? What are you doing with your knowledge? What are you doing with your skill set? You know? And if you do contribute in any way to the preservation of our religion, you're not doing anybody a favor. You're helping yourself. That's the way it works. We have a creed. We have an ideology. We have things that we actually believe. We have our beliefs. Our belief matters. So Allah says, "Laha ma kasabat, wa lakum ma kasabtum, wa la tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun." You will get for what you do. And you won't be asked about them. And then Allah also says in another verse, He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا غَفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Allah says, and those people who come after them, they say, O Lord, forgive us and forgive those who have preceded us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And make not any rancor in our heart for those people who have believed. So our disposition, you have to get in the right ideological frame of mind to deal with the realities of today. We're way past platitudes. We're way past vaudeville. Muslim vaudeville. Muslim vaudeville is when we just are performers. We're not teachers. We're not leaders. We just want to perform to get the likes, to get the thumbs up. We're way past that. That's not working anymore. It didn't work in the first place. Right now, we're dealing with being in the last days. We're dealing with fitna, all sorts of trials, and we're just seeing the beginning of it. We're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. That is a trial in and of itself. We're dealing with that, and we have to deal with our faith, the preservation of the Muslim way of life that people sacrifice for this, right? So what is the future of Muslim America? But Allah says, you know, they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. O Allah, forgive us and forgive our brethren who have preceded us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا. And do not make in our hearts rancor for those who believe. So we have our disposition to those who pass away is, may Allah forgive them and have mercy on them. We got our job just cut out for us. The Prophet said, لَا تَصُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضُوا إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمُوا. He says, don't revile the dead, because they have already went forth to meet what they put forth. Like, they're already dealing with their life. They're already in the afterlife. So don't revile them, because we're going to be in the same position. So again, my brothers and sisters, this is your host, Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ahmed. And you can go to my Facebook page now, LUQMAN, to see my fundraising link. That's what I want you to see. I want you to support my campaign for Black American Muslims to do for self. But the call-in number is 916-219-0874. And we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. What is the plan? What the heck are we doing? Right? We're not included in anyone's future plan, so we probably need to make our own plans. And we all know that Allah is the best of planners. I get that part. So let's get past that, because that's a given. But our scripture requires us, our scripture, the Quran, requires us to plan and do things and depend on Allah. Even the prophets, he had to plan. He had to cooperate with those who were willing. Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and seek counsel with them. This is Allah talking to the prophets, right in our scripture. And so to the I think it's Azad. Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and seek counsel with them in the affair. وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, but when you make a decision, فَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then depend on Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Depend on Allah, because Allah loves those who depend on Him. We have to take an Islamic approach to this stuff. We're dealing with Iblis, the devil. We're dealing with all kind of devils out here. We're on the verge of the Antichrist, Masih Dajjal. All of his language is out there. Imams aren't even supposed to talk about that. I don't know what the heck why. Okay, so what is our future? What are we going to do? What do we need to do? The call-in number is 914-219-0874. I'll be more happy to take your phone call. This is Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed, and you're listening to the Muslim Review. We're going to take a break for a commercial. Here's the commercial. Black American Muslims in the United States are amongst the most marginalized, splintered, weakened, and non-franchised group of Muslims in our country. In the 1970s, Black American Muslim convert community constituted a full third of the American Muslim demographic. As of 2018, we only make up about 13% of Muslims in America, and our conversion rate now is almost down to about zero. For every 10 people that convert to Islam, according to a Pew study, 10 people leave Islam. So we're not adding our numbers. Islam is growing fast in the United States, and some people say, I haven't seen direct evidence, but some people do say that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States. But it's growing by immigration, not by conversion. Right? So as a Black American Muslim frontline imam, I'm dedicated to the preservation of Islam amongst Black American Muslims and converts, and the preservation of Islam in general in our country. Unfortunately, this does not happen on its own. It happens by people working together, looking for solutions, and finding ways to implement those solutions to help stave off the extinction of the Black American Muslim community. And I'd like you to support my work in that respect by making a donation to my campaign to promote Do For Self, which you will find on my Facebook page, Lukman, L-U-Q-M-A-N, last name is A-H-M-A-D. If you look that up, then you'll find it. We appreciate your support. Jazakallah khair. Now back to our show. Okay. You're listening to The Future of Black Muslim America on The Muslim Review with your host, Imam Lukman Ahmed. The call-in number is 914-219-0874. They're talking about, what are we going to do? What are the issues that we really have to look at? Okay, you want to stop and you want to look at what are the major issues confronting Black American Muslims that are hindering growth, hindering development, hindering a positive future. Because if nobody's left to steer the future, then your future is going to look kind of bleak. I don't think that we cannot be wiped out. It's not a given. I mean, Allah has blessed us with Islam. He's blessed the hearts of so many millions to convert to the noble religion of Islam. And there has to be some wisdom behind that. But it's not a given that the Black American Muslim community is going to thrive. No. That's, we think like that, but that's not the truth. Nations have always been destroyed. Many people have come and gone, even Muslim people, wiped out completely. The possibility of anybody being wiped out is always ever present. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu. Ya ayyuhannas, O people, antumul fuqara'u ilallah. You are all paupers to Allah. Wallahu ghaniyun hamid. And Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. In yasha' yudhibkum. If he wants to, he would get rid of all of you. Wa ya'ti bi khalqin jadid, and bring about a new creation. Wa ma dhalika 'ala Allahi bi 'aziz, and that is not even difficult for Allah. So we know the possibility exists of our extinction. And if you look at the data, you look at the trend, you can see that we are dwindling down towards extinction. Maybe not total extinction, and Allah knows best, but extinction of sorts, to be sure. There was even talk a few last year about, because you get these ideas that creep into the Muslim community, but the ideas have no owner, you know. It's like, who came up with this? We don't ask that question. But there was an idea, it was talk of, one was having a Malcolm X Day. That was seen as an appeasement. and it was some national Muslim organizations. They weren't African American, but, you know, wanted to pay homage, you know, sometimes just to give Black American Muslims something that you want. Here, here's your Malcolm X Day and some Qurans and some literature and going about your business. In the meantime, we're building masajid over here. We're building schools. We're building an Islamic infrastructure for our children to navigate. We're training them. We're providing leadership training. But you Black people, no, well, you can get some Qurans and some literature, some goat meat on the Eid. We'll bring some meat by. And we'll bring some clothes and stuff like that for you guys. And we're happy to get that, alhamdulillah. But that's part of the problem, okay? So what are we going to do? What should we do? So let's look at some of the major issues, in my estimation. And again, you're listening to the Muslim Review with Imam Luqman Ahmed. And the call-in number is 914-219-0874. So we're going to look at some major issues that are impacting, that are poised to impact the future of Black Muslim America. At the top of that list, or in the first three of that list, is going to be generational continuity. Generational continuity. What does generational continuity mean? It means the preservation of the religion in your personal family, meaning that you're a Muslim, whether you converted to Islam, whether you were born in Islam, you are still nevertheless a Muslim, inshallah, and alhamdulillah. So you have an obligation to see to it that your Islam is passed on to your children. That means you have to teach the children, you have to check their ideology. Yeah, you have to check their ideology, like you check their phone. You're going to check what your children believe, and most children are going to believe what their parents believe. Why do I say that, you ask? Well, the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, "Kullu mauludin yulad ala fitra, yulad ala al-fitra, fa abawahu yahawidanahu aw yunasiranahu." He said, each child is born in the state of fitra. Fitra is your nature, your natural inclination towards Allah, your natural submission to Allah. And his parents are the ones who turn him into a Jew, a Christian, or a Magi, which was a popular religion during his time. So we have that. Then we have what the Prophet said, Ali Tatislam. He said, "Maru awladakum bisalati wahum abna asaba." He says, teach your prayers, or teach your children to pray when they're 7 years old. And then we have the hadith where the Prophet said, he said, "Sab'un yadhilluhum Allahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluhu." He said, there's seven people who Allah will shade them in his shade on the day when there's no shade except his shade. And out of those seven people, he mentioned, "Waladun nasha'a bi'ibadatillah," that the child who was raised in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know from that there is ample reason and argument in our faith, because I know people like to argue, they want to see Dalil about why we should work to preserve the religion of Islam and do what we can to stave off the potential extinction of our faith and our way of life. So, again, my question, and the call-in number is 914-219-0874, the call-in number, if you want to call in with your comments. In the meantime, you're going to have to hear me run my mouth. But mouth is getting tired, but I'm not too tired to complete this work. So, we're going to look at generational continuity. What are we doing? What can we do to enhance, to achieve generational continuity? That is a big problem. Now, compounded to that problem is the, because they're all connected, and everything about Islam is connected. Everything about solutioning in Islam is connected to the other, right? So you have a problem of generational continuity. Children aren't staying in Islam. They're not even being taught Islam in many cases. And you have the divorce situation. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But you have that lack of generational continuity of the faith. And there's another verse in Quran. Allah says, Am kuntum shuhada id hadra ya'qub al-maut faqala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. He says, were you present when death came to Jacob? And he said to his children, who were you going to worship after me? So you saw the concern. And Jacob was a prophet who was the son of another prophet, who was the son of the prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the argument is there. The mandate is there to preserve the religion. The mandate is there to ensure for ourselves generational continuity. Allah even says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. He says, oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So it's there. So one of the mitigating factors to the lack of generational continuity amongst Black American Muslims in the United States is lack of congregation. The numbers of congregations are dwindling, and the congregations of Muslims themselves have dwindled nearly to a trickle. So when you don't have congregation, that's going to increase the likelihood of you yourself falling out of Islamic practice, and especially your children. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, Yad Allah fi fawqa jami'. The hand of Allah is over the congregation. And congregation and the need for it is not even an issue about which scholars of Islam differ. Everybody knows that congregation is not only important, it's incumbent upon Muslims to have imams, to have communities. Yes, people do say, well, what it is the Khalifa, is the head Muslim, you know, for the whole entire world. Well, that's not really happening right now. Doesn't seem to be in the works. It's idealistic. Sure, if that leader is just, because the administration of Islamic leadership is only as good as the knowledge and the justice of the administrator. And that if that's a local imam, it's only as good as what he knows, how just he is, and whether people follow him. Which brings me to the third issue. So we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. My calling number is 914-219-0874. And we're looking at some of the mitigating factors that is contributing to the decline of Black American Muslims. And so far, we hit on two of them. One is generational continuity or lack thereof. Two is congregations and lack thereof of Muslim congregations, right? And then number three is it's going to be the marriage issue. And that's a big wad of wax right there. The marriage, the decline of marriage and the culture of marriage in Black Muslim America. Not just talk about the decline of marriage. There's an estimated 8 out of 10 marriable adults in the Black Muslim, in the American Black Muslim community are not married. Let me say that again, because I didn't say it right. There is an estimated 8 out of 10 of marriable adults in the Black American Muslim and convert community in the United States are not even married. So 8 out of 10 people that could be married aren't married. And the statistic of 70% or upwards, some people say 80% now, 70% of Black American households are headed by a single parent, usually a woman. Well, those same stats cross over to Black Muslim America. What affects Black Muslim America affects Black Muslims, even though we were only recently given allowances to even say that, but that nevertheless, that is the truth. So you have the issue of marriage. You know, I posted something on my Facebook page, and you can go take a look at it and read it if you want, and call back and comment on it if you like. Let me say something. And I posted this. I'm going to read it to you a little bit just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from. And I like the interchange of ideas. Believe me, I really welcome it. But just kind of know a little bit what you're talking about. Just don't, you know. So what I said here is we're talking about toxic marriages. That's a big thing. I'm like, what the heck? Toxic marriage, because this is a new word for us. We're really latched on to this toxic marriage thing, toxic man thing, toxic marriage. And this is what I said. I'm going to read it to you because you can always listen to this broadcast post-airing, alhamdulillah. And it's connected to a lot. That has a lot to do with the demise of Islam amongst Black American Muslims. A lot has to do with terminology, has to do with who's controlling our messaging, who is controlling our, who's steering the ship, who's handling Amr al-Muslimin, who's handling Amr al-Muslimin, Muslim affairs. Because as a Muslim community, someone has to handle affairs. People need to be in charge of stuff. Anyway, what I said about this toxic business, because it's like a new thing, toxic, toxicity in the relationship, toxicity marriage, toxic masculinity. That was a good shot. That was a good shot by Iblis, by the devil against Black American Muslims. Toxic masculinity. We were just going for it. But anyway, this is what I say. I said that we need to reconfigure some of our vocabulary when it comes to healing because there's no such thing as toxic marriage. That is a complete and utter falsehood, utter nonsense. There is, however, marriage. There is divorce. There is iddah, which is the waiting period through divorce, and there are diseases of the heart. Now, diseases of the heart can be toxic. They can even be contagious. A heart of a man and a woman can be sick, corrupted, blind, hard, soft, dead, or alive. And all of these factors can impact the quality and will impact the quality of Muslim marriage and the quality of their marital life together as husband and wife, or the quality of their relationship if you go in for that. Relationships without marriage is another trend, right? But the disease in the heart can impact the marriage, and it does impact the marriage. But the marital contract itself, the state of matrimony, is still intact. You're still married. You're still in the institution. You're still under contractual obligations to each other before Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you divorce. That contract itself can never be characterized as toxic. It's the people could be toxic. Now, the people's hearts may become toxic, but the contract itself cannot be toxic because it is a divinely mandated contract that was mandated by Allah. Be he exalted and glorified. And anything that is mandated by the Almighty God, you cannot characterize that as toxic just because somebody has a PhD and they want to say that. Marital life can contain disease. It can even be a home to demons. And very often, your marriage, your house, is a home to demons. Demons can occupy a home or the heart. They can influence thinking. It happens all the time. It happens too much, in fact. What I'm saying is a known fact according to Muslim scriptures. But there is no disease in the marriage contract itself. So toxic marriages, for real, there's no such thing, brothers and sisters. No such thing at all. My son is calling me, but I'm just... There's no such thing at all. Listen, you have marriages, okay? Well, first of all, when you dissolve a marriage, you dissolve the contract. That's what you're dissolving. You're saying that there's no more contract between me and you, wife or husband. The contract between us is over, but we still have a contract to end the marriage, which is usually the end of period, if there is an end mandated for that type of marriage. All types of marriages do not require that you have a waiting period going out of them. Right? In fact, divorce is really the last, it should be the last resort. I'm just talking about Muslim civilization here. I'm just talking about, we have some things that are just, it's just our, it's our civilizational responsibility on the planet. Like, come on, you know, to deal with these things, to have discussions. And discussion has to go sometimes beyond what we consider to be normal discussions, because we always operate pretty much within the parameters that are set for us by people who are not us, okay? And so the whole thing about toxic marriage is, well, there's no such thing. And when you dissolve a marriage, you dissolve the contract. So, and what happens is lots of times, and let me just stop real quick and say, our call-in number is 914-219-0874. So lots of times when people get a divorce, right? Well, the love and mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put in the marriage, put in their hearts because they got married. Because getting married itself is an act of righteousness, and when you do that and have the right intention of pleasing Allah, of preserving your religion, of preserving your chastity, when you get married with that in mind, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says, and from amongst his many signs is that he has created for you from your own selves spouses to live in harmony with them, to live in sakina, to live in tranquility. So Allah says this is the way he does, right? He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He has made between you love and mercy. Barely is, and that is a sign for those who reflect, right? So a lot of times when people get that divorce, right, they even got the divorce thing, I want out, I'm tired. I'm not happy. You don't make enough money. You don't cook well enough. The sex ain't good. For whatever reason. And we're not even going to talk about the legitimacy of reasons that people get divorced. Because every divorce reason is not valid. It's not acceptable according to the law, according to our scriptures. But that's another talk altogether. We're just talking about people. They get divorced, but they still love each other. And they still retain the love and mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in between their hearts that happened as a result of marriage. But, however, through bad advice, sometimes no advice at all, sometimes demonic advice, they dissolve the marriage contract. It's like, what? Because of the advice. Because of the, you know, the interference in the marriage. I've seen it happen scores of times. The couple, you're divorced now. But the love and mercy that Allah placed between you, which you could have built on that love and mercy to reconcile your marriage, but because you had demons in your house, demons in your life, people telling you the wrong information, you might want to those marriage counselor who didn't like Islam. That happens, right? So now you're divorced. So now you got, you know, the kids are all bent out of shape. The people aren't together anymore. You know, the family has been broken. And they still love each other. And then you got people, couples. This happens all the time. I'm telling you, as an imam for 24 years, almost 25 years, and the council, I don't know how many couples, how many marriages I had to deal with. It was my pleasure to serve, and it still is. But I'm saying that I'm not saying this off the top of my head. These are things that actually happen. People's lives, people's children were involved. I've seen marriages where the marriage is done. The children go south, and both couples go south. And where's the Islam? It's gone. That's unfortunate. But that happens. And you got people left thinking, what the heck just happened? Like, what just happened to my family? We were just happy, like, you know, 3 months ago. Like, what the heck happened? That happens a lot. That's why divorce in Islam is the last resort. It's the most hated, permissible thing to Allah. So the marriage dilemma, that would be kind of number three. And you can mix them around, but so we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. What is the plan? And so to find a plan, you have to look at, well, what the heck is going on? That's something, that's like the million-dollar question. What is going on? And just to touch on this whole idea about toxic marriages and stuff, you know, toxic marriage, that's actually a heretical, that's a heretical terminology, if you want to really break it down. Because marriage contracts are not toxic. The toxicity, if it does exist in any marriage, it's in the couple. And it's very, 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 very rare, if ever, based on my own personal experience being married and divorced, and my professional experience as a full-time imam that has been on the inside of many marriages, inside the home, is highly unlikely that the husband has disease in his heart and the wife doesn't have any in hers. Or that the wife has disease in her heart and the husband does not have any in his, because some of the diseases of the heart, you think corona is contagious? They are contagious. That's something we have to address when we start addressing things. So again, I'm going to say this is Imam Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed. Our show is called The Muslim Review. And today our topic is the future of Black Muslim America. And the call-in number is 914-219-0874. I'd be happy to take your calls. Feel free to call in. And well, I just turned my volume up a little bit. Maybe you weren't hearing me for the whole show. But this is a casual show. I'm just back on the air after being off the air for almost 4 years now. And so this is my fourth show since I've been back on the air. I'm still trying to, I know how to work the equipment now. But, you know, I don't have an engineer. We're not working inside of a studio. We're working from inside of my dining room with my kids in the back playing. They were taking a nap. They're up, down. They're abooing me. Right before we came on the air, I did make my son some pancakes, and I heated up a piece of fried chicken that I fried this morning, and I took a bite, and then he took the rest, and then he brought it back because I took a bite, so he felt it was contaminated by my bite. And so I'm dealing with that as I'm on the show talking to you guys, and I appreciate you listening in. And my caller number is 914-219-0874. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Okay, assalamu alaikum. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. Again, encouraging you to support my campaigns where I do fundraising for them because I've been an advocate for Muslims in Iran for nearly a quarter of a century, and there's things that need to get done, and Black American Imams in general, and specifically I'm talking my case, we don't really have the resources to do the research. We don't have the resources to produce. A lot of times we don't even have the resources to reach the audience that we would like to reach. So in order to do these things, we need the support of the people, especially when we're not talking about popular issues, we're not talking about issues that people want to fund, because sometimes it's not politically correct to fund it. So we look for everyday Muslims to support our project. So please go to my Facebook page, Luqman Ahmed, LuqmanAhmad, and donate to my current. I have a couple of campaigns we're working. One of them is to support Black American Muslims doing for self, and we appreciate your support. Okay, now back to our show. See, I don't have any recorded commercials. I'm working on that. I'm working on recording commercials and jazzing up the program a little bit more and trying to reach a greater audience. Right now, we're just back online. We're not making a big deal. I mean, we're making a big deal out of it, but it's only me. So I'm not making that big of a deal, but I do want to make sure that I'm on record with some of these thoughts because I believe in being witness and bearing witness. Okay. And that's something you have to consider if we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. Because every generation, they should bear witness and be witnesses. And Allah is bearing witness over what they're doing, you know, like Allah is bearing witness over what we're doing right now as Muslims in America, specifically as Black Muslim America. Not that he's not, Allah looks to everybody. Everybody is held accountable for everything that they do. I'm just happen to be talking specifically about our specific demographic group right now on this show. And Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And in this manner, we have made you a middle, or a fair, a just ummah, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And so that you can bear witness over the people. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِدٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And so that the messenger will be witness over you. Now, we live, the Prophet of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, has died a long time ago. So he's not witnessing what we're doing, but Allah is the witness, and we are still bearers of witness. Like, that is real. That is a big part. That should give you some inspiration to move forward in whatever you're doing for the cause of Islam, for the cause of preservation of Islam. I have a hard problem understanding the sit-out Muslim. Not just, listen, I don't know what people do. Right? That's why I don't talk about individuals in any of my talks, any of my writing. You don't hear me mention people's name. Imam so-and-so did this. He's a bad imam. I don't do that. Because you don't know. I just try to give the message. The message of Islam. I just try to teach. Whoever takes it, fine. I need to take it myself. Allah says in Quran, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Allah says, do you enjoin the people in righteousness while you forget yourself, while you are reading the book? Do you not yet understand, right? And so, even when I'm preaching, when I'm talking, I'm giving advice, don't think for a moment that I'm not thinking about myself or that I am somehow, you know, above reproach or not accountable for what I say, what I do, that I don't have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I do. We all have different contracts. As an imam, my contract with Allah is to do what I'm doing right now. It's to teach, spread the message, to correct. As an imam, my contract with Allah that I made, it's not going to go for everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same contract with Allah. We have different types of contracts. Certain things we're all contractually obligated to, such as the five prayers, observing the month of Ramadan, the Shahada. No matter who you are, that's your contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some people make their own contracts in addition to what's prescribed by Allah, to what's incumbent upon us. People make their own contracts. Allah says, "In the hadhihi tadhkira." He said, "Barely this is only a reminder." فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا And so whomever wants, let him find a path to his Lord. So everybody should have some kind of agreement. While you're alive, while you're healthy, while you got the skills, while you got the time, maybe not a lot of time, but everybody should have a contract, a contractual arrangement, agreement with the Almighty Lord Allah. He says, in the hadith tafkir, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا So whoever wishes, let him take a path to his Lord. That's some real stuff right there, brothers and sisters. Make your contract. Umar ibn Khattab said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا He says, call yourselves into account before you are called into account. You're listening to Imam Luqman Ahmed in the Muslim Review. Calling number is 914-219-0874. Thanks for listening to our show. I appreciate it. We have 20 minutes left to go on the show. I'm looking forward to getting your calls today. You don't want to just keep hearing me, but maybe you do. So, alhamdulillah. And so we're talking about the future of Black Muslim America. And this is really like an introductory talk. This is the first of a series. But we've pinpointed three problems. There's other problems, but these are kind of like three of the top problems. One is generational continuity. That has to do with your children being Muslim, being raised Muslim, schools, leadership training, all that stuff. Because there has to be somebody who's picking up the rear as the rest of us transition. Not going to stay here the whole time. Everybody, that's how Islam has always been preserved. It's preserved through family, first and foremost. Islam is always preserved to their family for anything. Even masajid, if mosques fail, like they do many times, or they wane. You don't have a lot of vibrant masajid anymore. People, well, now you don't have hardly nothing because of the coronavirus. And even after, say, we do get a vaccine or a cure. Probably already got a cure out there, but Allah knows best. But if you get a vaccine, man, it's going to be years before people feel comfortable going to the masjid. As long as there's a possibility of catching the virus, until we have mass herd immunity, unless we have a cure. Like, you know, you get the virus, you take two pills, and the next day it's gone. Man, they're going to milk this. We're going to be afraid for many, many years, or at least until probably a year from now, at least. We're going to be afraid of going to the masjid. We're going to be afraid of doing any sort of communal activity where we have to deal in person with other Muslims. That's stopping. Don't think that's going to not have an impact on the future of Islam in the United States and the future of Islam amongst Black American Muslims and converts in this country. Be a fool to not consider that these things will have an impact, that this coronavirus is going to have an impact. So we have to be asking the question all the time, right? Who's, like, what's the plan? Like, who's in charge of a plan? Now, I'm going to say this, that, of course, you know, as an imam, I have a plan. I'm working my plan best I can, and I have some other things that just is a plan that I've come up with, and some other imams are coming up with plans. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only imam in America who's thinking about the future. There are others. We meet every Tuesday online, me and three other imams. By the way, if you've been listening to that, man, you really want to watch that. But anyway, but the question is, what's the plan? And we have to have these hard discussions. That's just the way it is. You don't have any choice. I mean, we have to behave as Muslim grown men and women. I mean, come on. I know that some of the conversations are difficult. I get that. I get that it's new to a lot of people. I get that people have been programmed. I get that. I get that people are afraid. I get the whole political correctness thing, especially maybe you have a job somewhere. Maybe you lose your job if you say certain things or if you do certain things, if you get involved in certain things that pertain to your religion, even though the separation of church and religion in the United States. But I understand the fear. But I'm not justifying Muslim men or female being cowards. I'm not going to go there. I'm saying if you're a coward about working for your faith, you need to man up. You need to women up. Now, as far as people's status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have no idea of anybody's status. I don't even know my own status with the Lord. I have my hopes. I have my aspirations. I have my fears. I have my wishes that Allah is pleased with some of what I do and that He forgives me for my sins. So I'm not talking about, you know, people's statuses and, you know, who's a good Muslim, who's not. But I am telling you this, cowardice is not a praiseworthy quality for a Muslim male or female to have, especially when there's no really good reason to have it, that you can't do, that you can't give. There's not a good reason. We have to understand the influences that we have in Black Muslim America, the outside influences, most of which, even if there's benefit, it has had a deleterious effect on us as a whole. You have to look at, if you talk about the future of Black Muslim America, you have to look at the role of radical feminism, feminist hegemony into our moral psychology. You have to look at that. You have to look at terminologies found in behavioral psychology that need to be altered, that need to be excised altogether. Like you're doing an exorcist. The whole thing about toxicity. You gotta put it in some kind of put it in context that makes some sense. That does not belie our scripture. Does not contradict our scripture. Does not make us go into disbelief thinking that we're getting healed. That's some important stuff. And inshallah, it's my wish, and please keep us in your prayers. Yes, Marion, what you want? You need to get your what? I got my daughter, Marion, over here. I'm going to have her do a show with me because this girl is sharp. She say no, but she always want to come up. She want the mic. She come asking for stuff that she can ask for when I'm done. But she just want to get. She thought I was doing a video. Cause they like to get into videos. But they have puppets. We're doing puppeting soon in Charlotte Island. We got puppets, and we're going to be producing, hopefully doing some shows, teaching Islam, using puppets. I hope you guys don't mind that. We're coming to the end of our show, though. I think we have 13 minutes left in the show. So I want to just finish by kind of summarizing what we were going over today. I took some notes. I'm not a big note taker, but my memory is not always quite what it used to be. I used to have a really, really good memory. I can still keep up with most. But I used to memorize everything, but I can't now. So anyway, we're looking at the future of Black American Muslims or Black Muslim America, and we're looking at some of the major factors that are owing to our civilizational decline, which is irrefutable that we're on a decline. I know Muslims, some people don't like to hear that because everything has to be hunky and dory and kumbaya-y, right? And you know, if you really read Muslim history, if you looked at the life, let me see. If you look at the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would see that it wasn't all that hunky-dory like that. You know, the companions of the Prophet didn't float around on clouds shooting hadith. It wasn't like that at all. The Prophet's life was a life of struggle for many prophets. I mean, he went through a lot to preserve the religion, which is why we have the mandate as Black American Muslims to help preserve our religion, our ideology, our creed, our religious practices, starting within our own families. That is of tantamount importance. Even when a person leaves this earth, leave his life, all of your deeds stop, except for sadaqatun jariyah, perpetual charity, which I want to urge you again to contribute to my fundraiser. It's on my Facebook page, Imam Luqman Ahmed, Luqman Ahmed, Luqman Ahmed. And if you're listening, most likely you're listening through my Facebook page. But sadaqatun jariyah, which is perpetual charities that continue to benefit people even after you're gone. That's one of the things that are left after you leave this life that still work on your behalf. علم نافع, beneficial knowledge, ينتفع به, beneficial knowledge that people are benefiting from. That's what I try to do with the little bit that Allah has allowed me to know, understand about Islam. I try to teach it. My Facebook page is a teaching page. That's what it's there for. And they make my little jokes and they see what people are saying to weigh in on things. But I want to know what's going on. What are the people thinking? What are they saying? What are people believing? I like to make myself public, keep myself public as an imam. I've always been that way. I haven't always been on social media, but it's been some years now. Okay? So that's the second thing. The third thing that's left after you leave this world is waladun salih yad'u lah, is a righteous offspring that prays for you. So if nothing else, you want to teach your kids to believe in Allah and to pray for you. You got to teach them something. You can't not teach your kids about your religion, not be concerned. But we will get a lot more done. We'll get a lot more done if we had congregation, if we cooperated with one another, if you operated under one hand sometimes. So Allah says, ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. وَلَا تَعَامَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. He says, cooperate with one another in righteousness and piety, and don't cooperate with each other in sin and transgression. And Allah also says, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says that the believing men and the believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. And so you've been listening to Imam Abu Lee. I'm gonna figure out how this podcast thing works. I want to start doing podcasts. I just now really recently found out what the doggone podcast is, believe it or not. I'm still not understanding the concept, because if you can listen to this recording post-airing, like you can come on to my blog talk radio page, The Muslim Review, and you can look at previous shows, and you can click on it and hear the show. So isn't that a podcast? I'm just going to have to really kind of understand. But anyway, I'm trying to get a little bit more sophisticated with my producing, my self-producing. But one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to do vaudeville. That's not going to happen. I wouldn't be a good vaudevillian anyway, because I can't dance. Yeah. And I can hardly sing. But I'm not going to be a performer imam. I'm sorry. I think I might have tried it one time, but I shouldn't do it. I can't even give a doggone speech without telling the truth. I've had that happen a few times. I've been invited. Sheikh Luqman, come on over. We want you to say this and that and that and that. And this and that, but don't talk about this, don't talk about that. Well, why did he say that? When people start telling me what I can't talk about, I don't know. I was just a troublemaker. Once you say I can't talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. I don't like people telling me to shut up. I never did. I never. My parents would tell you, man. My mother's passed away. We're in Allah. Allah have mercy on her beautiful, 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 beautiful soul. A lot of times, speaking out. My mother used to speak out on issues all the time. So a lot of times, I think about her. When I'm talking, when I'm giving sermons, I'll think about my mom, my mother, a beautiful soul. But anyway, that's my little nostalgia for you right now. But we're down to the last 5 minutes of our show, and you've been listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ahmed, The Muslim Review. I'm also thinking, though, about changing the name of my show. Department. If you got any suggestions, you can, well, too late to call in right now, but you can, nah, too late to call in, but, you know, contact with it. But I'm thinking very hard about changing the name of my show, something that's more catchier, maybe, something that more closely identifies to the speaker, who is me, you know, so I may even just make it the Lukman Ahmed Show. Something like the Abu Leif Show. I don't know. Abu Medium. I got 7 kids. I can be Abu any one of them as the name of the show. But I'm trying to personalize it. I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought. But recently I've been like really kind of looking at how can I reach more people. And that's why I need your support. I do appreciate that. You can always support my fundraiser. You can also always cash at me to $ Abu Laith, ABULAITH, and the number 2. So you can cash app, I'll repeat that. $ Abu Laith, ABULAITH, and the number 2. You can cash at me. But I am looking to hitting a greater audience. So I'm going to upgrade my platforms and, you know, I'm not gonna say I'm lazy, but you know, I'm a single dad, man. That stuff, you know, I'll be here washing dishes, and I just, you know, I did it today. I actually cleaned the floor in the dining room. And my son got up and he had a nap, and but they were napping. I said it's a good time to clean the floor, so I had this little spray stuff. You spray on the rug and everything. I scrubbed it down with the push broom, you know. They said that loosens the dirt, and then I vacuum, and you know, just the rug looks a lot cleaner. I might have to put down some more cleaner, but it looks pretty good, if I may say so myself. And my son got up, and after, you know, I had made him some waffles and snap. We went back and forth over the chicken, one piece of chicken left from this morning, and then he said, "Oh, Abu, you cleaned the rug." So this little guy, he's 4 years old, and he's a genius, man. I love my kids so much. They're my life. But he's 4 years old, and he swears he knows everything. And he will engage you in conversation. Like, he's an intellectual, man. I guess he's like his father in that respect. Both of them, they talk intelligently, okay? My son's learning to read now. Read Arabic and English and learning his Quran and stuff, but he insists on reading. Right? It started off that I take a dictionary and I read words to him, and he repeats the word. And he swears he had a reading lesson. He'll come and say, "Boo, we're going to reading? And I'll get it, because I'll read stuff. And that's how he started learning Arabic, because I'm reading Arabic, because I want to know how to read that. But he's stubborn, too. So, and he's shy, so we're working that out. But we're down to the last 2 minutes of our show, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. May he see us through this coronavirus pandemic, and allow us to keep our sanity and to keep and preserve our religion, which is very, very important. You can donate. Go on my webpage, my Facebook page. You can also visit my blog. If you want to know more about what I'm talking about, what I'm about, you can go to www.imamlukman, I-M-A-M as in Mary, L-U-Q-M-A-N .wordpress.com, or you can simply Google Imam Lukman Ahmed. Also, you can visit Amazon for my books. I have a really nice book on double-edged slavery. It talks about the colonial disposition of Black American Muslims. And again, you've been listening to Imam Lukman Ahmed. I'm also an associate imam and resident scholar at the Toledo Masjid of Islam. And we are open every Friday for Jumu'ah at 1:30. But I want to thank you for listening to our show, whether you listen to it live or if you listen to it post-airing. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruka. Thanks again for tuning in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Eid Mubarak to you. Today is the third day of the Eid. Have a great day.